This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We're coming to eighth time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
We're in a good spot. I mean, right now, halfway point of our season, you know, we're in a good spot. We're atop our division. Guys are playing good football, and I'm very pleased with where our team is. We just have to go out and finish the second half of the season. But to be where we are right now, I'm very proud of the work that our guys have done. No matter, you know, who we've had out there, guys have just stepped up and made plays. You know, we've lost some guys to injury. It doesn't matter. Guys have stepped up, made plays, and playing winning football. So I'm excited to see how our guys continue to push and finish the second half of the season.
That's D'Amico Ryans yesterday asked, how do you feel about the halfway point? How do you feel about where your team's at? And I think that's probably, it's pretty accurate assessment of where they're at. I don't know if it's an accurate gauge of how people are feeling right now moving forward, but we'll see. The Lions come into town on Sunday. We got a lot to dig into today. I'm Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. Hello. Hello.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hello. Good morning. How are you?
How the hell are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
It's funny because yesterday during the press conferences, I was kind of trying to figure out why it felt different this week compared to last week, and obviously coming off a loss, it's going to feel a little bit different. But I remember last week in the shortened week, I was a little disappointed because none of the questions on the Wednesday press conference were even directed, or excuse me, the Tuesday press conference last week. Not hardly any of them were really even about the New York Jets. It was a whole lot of like, hey, let's try to just cap up this previous week's game. It's not that it's an excuse or anything, but man, it's definitely not an excuse. The Texans just didn't handle the short week well last week.
No.
So I did appreciate, and I actually liked the fact that I think both on Monday and Wednesday this week with D'Amico, and then on Wednesday with C.J. Stroud, there were a lot of questions about the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
Like, okay, whatever led the Texans to looking like they were sleepwalking the first half of, well, really all four quarters of Thursday Night Football, then if it were for lack of focus or preparation or whatever it might be, I don't think that's going to be an issue with the Lions. Everybody knows that they're facing a hell of a football team this week.
That was the first Thursday night game for a lot of really important people in their roles. You know, yeah. CJ had never had one. All the young players had never really had one. D'Amico as a head coach had never had one, you know, so that's, yeah, I think, and that you're going on the road, so you're really losing a day. Yeah, I think that factors in. There's a heavy focus on this game with the Lions for sure. I thought yesterday, Seth, in looking at that press conference, there were two things that I wanted to hear about, and one of them was injuries. We'll get to that in a second. I'm not feeling great about that. The other was, okay, you've had extra time here to take a look at really the Achilles heel on this team, which is the offensive line, specifically the interior of the O-line. The good news injury-wise, Jared Patterson back at practice yesterday. So that was good news. But D'Amico was asked about the offensive line or the offense executing in about six different ways in that press conference, and the answer was the same every time. It was this.
That's the offensive line. What would an improvement for you look like for you all?
For us, we just have to go out and execute our offense the right way.
Okay, and he used that answer. We have to go out and execute the offense the right way at least four times that I can think of in that press. Like Landry Locker tried to get him to get super introspective on the offensive line with a question, like a pretty deep question, and that was the exact same answer. It was, we have to go out and execute better. I think D'Amico is tired of taking up for this offensive line.
I think you're correct there. Yeah. We're not hearing the same thing we heard a couple weeks ago, which was D'Amico and Caserio adamantly defending the offensive line and saying that it's a group effort and these guys are just fine. It's a lazy narrative that the offensive line is struggling.
Right.
I think it'd be a lazy narrative if you say that the offensive tackles are struggling, but the offensive line as a whole, if it's, hey, we're all in this together,
yeah,
the offensive line as a whole is struggling largely because the interior three are struggling. And really, the thing that makes it harder for everybody on the offensive line to operate is that the left guard position has been an abomination.
Yeah.
So that's, and because of that, they do things with the pass protection scheme and otherwise that just that make the entire offensive line effort look really paltry.
Yeah.
So yeah, and there's no whitewashing it.
No. And I think he's tired of giving 45 second answers pointing out the good snaps versus the bad snap. I think he's up to his ears in it. I don't think he wants to talk about it anymore. And the one way to not have to talk about it anymore is for the offensive line to actually go out and have a good outing against the Detroit Lions this weekend. The other thing, the injury report, we got to get to this. Nico Collins and Will Anderson were the two big ones. Jarrett Patterson as well, I put in there just because, as you point out, left guard has been such a travesty. Jarrett Patterson back at practice. That's good news. Several guys back at practice. So there's good news. Azeez Al-Shaair, Jerry Hughes, Jeff Okuda, Jimmy Ward, all back at practice. Those are all good things. What's the update on Nico Collins and Will Anderson, D'Amico?
Nico, he's doing good. We'll see where he ends up.
How about Will Anderson?
Same with him. He's doing well. We'll see where he ends up.
Okay. I'm not feeling great about this. Now, I'm feeling good big picture on both guys. Like, if they're both doing well, neither, you know, Will didn't go to IR or anything like that. The reports on Nico Collins yesterday, specifically from Aaron Wilson, were really, really good. Nico Collins has passed all the tests for his hamstring, no setbacks per league sources, regained speed, mobility, ready to go. Matter of when, not if, he'll be designated for return. Team still determining if activating him for the Lions game. Him and Will not practicing is problematic right now.
I'm more nervous about Will. No, I was about to say that, and then I realized it's not true. Can't spit out a falsehood. What were you going to say? I just realized that in the moment that it's not true. I was about to say I'm more nervous about Will than I am about Nico, but then I realized, like, wait, no, I don't actually know anything about Nico other than Aaron Wilson's report.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the Lions game specifically, I'm trying not to read too much into Wednesday, because let's remember, they're going to try to give Nico as much rest and as much time feeling A-plus perfect before he gets back out on the field.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like if he had felt awesome after week one and he'd been rolling along, that would be one thing. But I think they're still being very careful with him. I don't think it's gamesmanship or anything with Nico, because you still really need to get that timing back,
yeah,
and you need to get him really just CJ feeling good with that connection.
Okay.
So I don't think they would hold him out just for gamesmanship. I think they're holding him out because, yeah, they want to be very, very careful. But that doesn't really give us a window into whether they expect him to play Sunday.
That's funny you say that. Like, you literally were saying the word gamesmanship as I was formulating, yeah, hey, maybe it's gamesmanship in my head.
Yeah. That's why when I started off the sentence, I was thinking that it might be gamesmanship. And then I realized, like, garbage. So I actually don't feel it is gamesmanship. I think it's medical conservatism.
Well, as we'll hear from Dan Campbell in the next segment, they're preparing as if Nico Collins is going to play in this game in Detroit. Like, he's yeah, anticipating Nico playing. So whether it's gamesmanship or not, they're preparing for Nico Collins being out there. Here's where I don't feel good about those two coming back is when D'Amico on his coach's show this week, I thought, gave some really good insight into how he handles players that are in that 50-50 range on playing, which I think both these guys are going to be for different reasons come Sunday. Here is D'Amico from his coach's show and how he handles injured players getting ready to come back and play.
Oh, that's one of the toughest spots being a head coach, right? Of having to make that call of the guy's close, but we still don't know. For me, I'll always lean towards making sure a player long-term health is always at the forefront of my decision, as opposed to, come back a week too soon, and now we lose you for, call it 4 or 5 more weeks.
Yep.
So let's make sure, right, you can practice throughout the week, right? And let's make sure you can show your teammates and yourself, you can gain that confidence. Oh, I can go out and perform my job to the highest level.
You have to tell them to sit down? Like, hey, yeah, you got to sit, and they want to play?
Sometimes throughout my conversation with them, I talk around, I let them make that decision.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm guessing Nico and Will are, you got to sit guys for D'Amico. You know what I mean? I'm guessing Nico and Will fit into that category at the very end that Vandy was asking about, of like, they want to play. You know, like they want to get out there and play, and you got to sit them down. The part of that cut that makes me concerned about this week is practice throughout the week. By definition, they will not have done that.
especially with a hamstring too,
yes.
Where you want to feel like, hey, we're going to go. I'm trying not to handicap this thing right now with Nico Collins, and we'll see what happens on Thursday or Friday. You know, maybe he's out there on Friday and they're doing like a little bit of extra, you know, full speed, full go routes on Friday, more so than they normally would, just to really get the timing down. But it's not as simple as, well, you just drop Nico Collins back into the mix and have him run a couple go routes and all as well. I think that, if he doesn't practice today, then I'm going to start to hit the panic button.
If he doesn't practice today, he ain't playing.
Sean.
No. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. If he doesn't practice today, he is not playing. Seth, when have
Damn
we gotten...
Damn you for pulling that deep cut all the way back from Monday. You had to go all the way back to Monday.
I'm just trying to bring the truth,
and find evidence that Nico's probably not playing this week.
I'm just trying to prepare people for this. I don't want people to think that there's going to be big, huge presents under the tree, and then they're disappointed when all they get are socks. You know, that's it.
Yeah.
So
D'Amico's absence is just it's a, you know what I used to get from my dad in the stocking? Nuts and oranges. He tried to make it like a traditional 1800s Christmas. We're like, ooh, what's this? An orange? I thought only the fat cats on Park Avenue got to eat citrus fruit. Woo. Yeah. Dad.
What kind of if you don't mind me ripping a scab off here, what kind of nuts exactly were in the stocking?
Like, oh, only the best, you know, peanuts, walnuts, like scavenged from our lawn.
Sometimes when it was a good year, cashews.
It weren't no deluxe nuts.
No.
Not the kind that... Was it Lovey? Who was it that he used to talk about?
Romeo.
Oh, no, that's Romeo.
Hit it again,
deluxe nut package.
Yeah, deluxe nut package.
It wasn't the deluxe nut. Certainly wasn't single serve.
That was it was Romeo Crennel talking about Will Fuller at the trade deadline.
My father, arguing for nuts and fruit in your stocking and the silver standard.
Oh,
yes.
That was. All right, Peyton Pendergast with you.
Hey, real quick note from a management perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that D'Amico lets guys make the decision for themselves.
Yeah.
That is a good way to go. You always want people to feel like they came up with the idea. If you're a genuine leader, you don't care about getting credit for the idea. You want people to really have ownership in their own ideas. It is sometimes plainly obvious to the person being managed that that's what's happening. We had a boss once that I could tell very much wanted people to feel like they were making the decision for themselves as he like led you down the primrose path to be sure. Well, like, this is how you feel about this, right? Right? You're taking ownership in this, right?
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Like, almost like he's got a recorder out. This video, like, I've got you on tape saying you agreed to
said,
this.
You said, yeah. That's funny.
You said that you'd rather keep your job than disagree with me on this. So I assumed you were all in.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Game on Sunday, 7:20 kick between the Lions and the Texans. You can hear it right here on Sports Radio 610. And you can text us on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. Up next, what are the Lions thinking about the Texans? Dan Campbell, it would be fun having Dan Campbell press conferences every week. He's got me jacked for this game on Sunday. The opposing coach has me jacked for this game on Sunday.
I know.
Yes. So he's about to get you pumped up as well, listener. That is coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
We'll get to Dan Campbell here in a second. Probably should have asked you this during the break. Did you happen to see any tweets or anything where, you know, sometimes at practice they let the media watch like the first 20 minutes of practice, which is usually just stretching and stuff like that?
Yeah.
I didn't see any tweets like, hey, there's the first team offensive line stretching together, working together early in practice.
Right, right.
I didn't see a permutation of linemen out.
I think they're usually, that's one of the things that they're not supposed to tweet about.
Yeah,
so,
okay. Yeah. So you didn't see anything. I didn't see anything either. I guess if we're making predictions, if Jared Patterson, he's at the tail end of the concussion protocol, it sounds like. He was listed as a full participant yesterday, so it sounds like everything's... Unless somebody goes up and smacks him on the back of the head in the locker room for no reason, it would seem that things are going well with his concussion right now. So right. Is your expectation that the starting offensive line is going to be basically the same as it's been, just with Patterson instead of Green?
Yeah, with Patterson out there, you know, Patterson was the guy that was tabbed with going in for Kenyon Green originally, and yeah. I think as long as his I think that it would be medical. If he, you know, just like we saw with Henry Toa a couple weeks ago, Toa yeah. practiced, and then they pulled him back because yeah. he had symptoms. So whether Jarrett Patterson had any symptoms after practicing yesterday,
yeah.
that's the biggest obstacle. But, yeah, I'll be surprised if it's – if Jarrett Patterson is healthy but Kendrick Green starts, yes, I'll be surprised.
I'd be very surprised. I'm with you on that. I'd be yeah. very surprised. Here was Dan Campbell, coach of the Lions, yesterday. He's excited. He's jacked for this game, man, with the Texans, and he got me excited too. Now, I don't know how good he is on predicting injured players playing in a game. He'll mention you'll hear that in this, but here's Dan Campbell on, I believe, our sister station, 97.1 up in Detroit.
Man, this team is, I love the way this team plays. I mean, they play an aggressive style, explosive, fast type of football. And look, this quarterback, I think, has done an outstanding job. He's one of these really good young players in this league. I do think they're going to get Nico back. We're prepared for him. We're thinking he's coming back. He's outstanding. You know, this whole line, there's been a little bit of, you know, they had some injuries here and there, but you know, the scheme and the things that they're able to do up there, they can do a lot to you. And Mixon's playing a very high level. And then this defense, man, I mean, they hum now. They are smoking. They are up the field. They're aggressive. You know, they play a nasty style game. They finish on the football. It's going to be an all-out brawl, man, out in Houston, Houston, Texas on Sunday night. And, man, we're looking forward to it, man. This is one of those. Like I say, that's what excites you, man. Every week, you know, we just came off a big division win, and now we're rolling into another great opponent here in prime time Sunday night at their place. And, man, they play the style of football that we're looking forward to facing.
I agree with what he said there. Like, there should be a very much, if the Texans are truly the swarmy team they aspire to be,
yes.
And I think defensively they are. Like, culturally, I think they are defensively. There should be a street fight element to this game on Sunday.
Sean, you see on my notes in my illegible handwriting, yeah. defenses swarm. Yeah. I wrote that down as he said that. As Campbell was talking about the Texans team, I think he was very much... He didn't say that the offense hums. He said that the defense hums.
No.
There's a vibration to the Texans defense, whereas the Texans offense is kind of like that possum I was telling you about mm-hmm. in the comatose state.
Yeah.
When they're playing dead, they go into a comatose, low body temperature state where you can poke them with a stick and they won't even move.
Right.
That's the offense right now. Yeah,
especially in
without
the, especially
Nico
in the,
Collins,
especially in the second half of games.
Yes,
very
yes.
much
they go
a possum.
They go possum in the second
Big
half.
Big time in the second half.
You'll
yeah.
never hurt them, but they won't score any touchdowns.
That's right.
Possum's notoriously poor second half performers. yeah.
Get your action down now on the second half.
You know when you see a small animal and you're like, oh, is that cute? Is that it's a possum.
It's a possum. Yeah. It's a second half possum is what
that's
that
not
is.
A squirrel or anything that I might get excited about.
No. As a player, I would listen to Dan Campbell. Like I'm saying, as a Texans player, if I were listening to that cut, I'd be like,
oh,
hell yeah, the other team's coming for a street fight. Let's go.
Let me tell you something. Dan Campbell got me excited a little bit about the future of the Texans with the next clip that we're going to play.
Oh, okay.
I do think that Campbell basically had the same tone and demeanor in talking about the Texans that DeMeco had in talking about the Lions.
Yeah.
It's received much better from a team that is humming the way the Lions are right now.
Yeah.
I put up a video yesterday. I was watching a bunch of Lions stuff yesterday, and I put a video of some highlights of the Lions juxtaposed up against DeMeco Ryans talking about how awesome the Lions are. Wasn't received well at all.
Really?
A lot of DeMeco Ryans hatred coming out of it.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Man.
DeMeco's too soft, he's too nice, all this other stuff. I'm like, hey, well, hold on a second. His defense hums. His offense, I don't know.
It doesn't hum right now. No, not in a good way. Speaking of Dan Campbell, Seth alluded to it. Do you see similarities between the Lions and the Texans?
Yeah, I do. I mean, look, they've got a lot of young talent that they hit on. And it's funny because most of those players over there are all players that we really were high on, too, you know. And so when you see that and you see some of these players, you're like, man, that was a good one. You know, that was a good pick they got there. And you see how hard they play and the type of football players they are. And so I do think there's a lot of similarities, you know. And there again, I think they've drafted well. I think D'Amico's done a hell of a job going in there. And just the style of play that they have, I think the quarterback's played well. They got one there. And they're like anybody else. They've had to go through some injuries and stuff this year. And they're battling through it. And they're, you know, they're still one of the top teams in this league. So they're finding ways to adapt and continue to win. So it'll be a challenge.
The Lions are one of those teams, Seth. There's like three or four teams that I think are the envy of the rest of the league right now. The Chiefs are always going to be one of them as long as Mahomes is there. I think the Ravens are in that category, even though they're just 5-3. People know the Ravens are well-run. Defense is a little un-Raven-like this year, but that offense is scary. The Lions are the one team, and I think you pointed this out earlier this week, like they're good in all three phases. Like they have an elite defense, an elite offense, and you know special teams are good, whatever. But like, if you look at the way they've built the Lions, like over the years here with Campbell, you know they were 3-whatever, however many games they played his first. I think it was a 17-game season. They were 3-14 his first year, but they were a pesky 3-14. They were a little like the Cardinals were last year. Hey, they're 4-13, but you know you get into you're in a fight every week. That's what they were in his first year. Then in his second year, they were 9-8. And they won that last game to knock Green Bay out of the playoffs at the end of the year. That was sort of their Super Bowl that year to finish above 500. They were 9-8. Year three last year, they get to the NFC title game. And if it were not for a couple really, really risky decisions made by Campbell in that game and a bad kicker, they might have been in the Super Bowl last year instead of the 49ers. And now this year, I think the expectation as of right now in Week 10 that they will be in the Super Bowl representing the NFC. Things can happen. But that you look at that build and you go, man, that is a classic way of taking an extremely downtrodden franchise that's been downtrodden for decades, literally, and taking it, building a culture, and then you win more and more and more, and now here you are, and you got a chance to get to a Super Bowl. I'll say this to the people who are angry with D'Amico Ryans right now. I guess I don't know how you get angry with D'Amico Ryans, but the Texans are ahead of that schedule right now on D'Amico Ryans' watch. And unlike the Lions, have a young quarterback that they're building. Right, there's a lot wrong with it. Not a lot. There's some important things wrong with the Texans right now. Some really crucial things that are wrong with the Texans right now that are negatively affecting this team and the quarterback. But in terms of I'm just focusing in on that cut, the similarities between the Lions and the Texans. The Texans are actually ahead of the trajectory that the Lions have been in getting on this Super Bowl track that they're on.
I think when you listen to that clip from Campbell and you start thinking, okay, swarm mentality and all of that. And, you know, the Lions offensively and defensively are playing really well right now. The Texans are playing really well defensively. And I think the swarm mindset is very evident and obvious there. The offensive side of the ball, it's just impossible to think about the offensive line. Even the guys who are performing well, you don't look at them and think like, oh yeah, that's Dan Campbell or that's Swarm or anything else like that. And including the offensive tackles who are playing well enough, like they're fine. But as far as Swarm mentality, none of those guys. I think Shaq Mason's the only guy that I think has that in him, but he's just physically not the same guy that he used to be. So, and I think Juice Scruggs has potential for it. He's just still trying to figure his way out. It's just the bright, glaring spot. I feel like the tight ends have the want to, but right now, Cade Stover, he's getting there. Schultz is just never going to be a good blocker. Yeah. It's just too late. He's worked at it. He's tried. He's just not a good blocker. That's not who he is. There's times where I wonder when he could be given a shove or a chip to a guy at the line of scrimmage more aggressively before he goes out on his route. I wonder about that sometimes. But by and large, Schultz is who he is.
Yeah.
But he's also not performing as a receiver the way that you'd like to see him. So, yeah, there's the tight ends and the offensive line. That's my biggest swarm deficit right now.
And especially when this team coming to town and you watch their offensive line on Sunday, like that's that's a swarm offensive line right there. With, you know,
that's
Pinesu,
a swarm offensive line.
Decker and the interior guys, yeah.
No, and honestly, they're going to test the defense in ways that the defense has started to show some chinks in the armor. Mm-hmm. The tackling is paramount this week. Yeah. And the Texans started off the year tackling a lot better than they had last year, and they've slowly degraded over the course of the season to where now they are once again a bad tackling football team.
Yeah.
David Montgomery has the fifth most broken tackles in the league right now. Jahmyr Gibbs is averaging over 6 yards per carry. He's got the second fastest run recorded in the entire season.
Yeah.
Or it's a top five. He is super
that's a,
fast.
That's a running back right there.
He's as fast as Nico Collins,
yeah.
But he's a running back.
He's a running back.
So that is a 1-2 punch at running back that could really test the Texans.
Here's DeMeco on that very topic. He was asked about it yesterday. I think tackling, you and I have talked about this the last 2 days. Tackling, if we're writing down the whiteboard of bullet points of keys to winning, tackling is the big one for me this week. Here's DeMeco Ryans talking about the O-line and the running backs for the Lions.
Yeah, their offensive line do a really good job of running off the football. They're big guys, big offensive linemen that cover guys up well. And, you know, credit to their backs. Two really good backs, both, you know, Gibbs, very explosive, you know, home run runner. And then you got the other guy who's just, man, downhill, tough, physical. So both of the guys, they run hard, they're physical. I think they may have the most yards after contact. You know, they find a way to get yards. And it's one thing for us as a defense, you know, we have to do a really good job of tackling. People have been there, they've been on these guys, but they have done a great job of making guys miss tackles. So we have to swarm, we have to tackle. It's going to take more than one person to get their backs down. They've done a really great job. Talk about a 1-2 punch. It's probably the best 1-2 punch in the league.
So Jahmyr Gibbs has the second fastest run of the season, a 70-yard touchdown rush in week 8. Where he ran 22.03 miles per hour.
That's fast.
Nico Collins has the fourth fastest clock speed of the season from week 1, his 55-yard reception, yeah, where he ran 21.89 miles per hour.
That's fast enough to get a speeding ticket in a school zone. You know, like that's...
Oh, is it a 15? Yeah.
Like 15 if you're,
yeah,
even
they're not
going to
give you the 5-yard, the 5-mile per hour grace period.
It depends on the cop,
window.
You know? Like if they're being real sticklers and it's kids, we're talking about endangering kids.
No, I'm saying even with the 5-mile per hour grace, it's still speeding. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm saying if it's usually it's 20 in a school zone. I'm saying like if you get a cop who's a real stickler, you know, like,
yeah.
Sorry, it's 22. Normally I'd give you the grace period, but these are kids here, Jahmyr. I can't have you running over a kid in the crosswalk. Sorry.
I'm going to run. When I run for office, one of my platform items will be to do away with school zones. You know, just, hey, let's go. Survival of the fittest. Which kids can keep their head on a swivel when they need to?
You know what?
Hey, we're getting ready for World War III at some point. I don't know who it's going to be or who the opponent, how it'll
That's
be
true.
Fought. But we need kids with heads on a swivel.
That'll toughen up our kids.
We need drone operators that know what's going on, damn it.
Yeah, that'll toughen them up. I'm for that as well. Says the two.
I can say that because I was hit by a car as a child. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that's 100% true. I was hit by, and it was because I was absent-minded. I take full responsibility for getting hit by that car.
I just like we have the two guys who don't have kids in elementary school anymore. Like, yeah, let's toughen these kids up. Let's go. 50 miles an hour in a school zone. Let's go.
I was way more on that side of the spectrum than Brandy was. I was kind of like, what are you going to do? You got to take some lumps as a kid growing up. That's how it builds character.
No crossing guards.
Lumps.
No speed limits. This is how you battle ADD in kids. They'll pay attention now, I tell you.
Well, it's tricky. It's like when you grow up in the country, you know, there's certain stuff that you just don't even think about with your kids. Yeah. You know why? Yeah, they're outside. What?
Right.
I'm not even thinking about it. You grow up in the city, or then you move to the city and you're trying to raise a kid in the city where you've never, it's just a different. So we're constantly like texting people, asking like, is this, can you just let kids do this? And people are like, God, no, you monster. Oh my God. What? No.
CPS.
So I guess we're not going to have the conversation about how my grandma used to take care of the extra kittens in a litter. Okay.
No.
Out in the country.
On that note. On that note. Headlines up next. We'll get to the Texans. The injury report is a big one this week. Alex Bregman news. Rockets. Good win last night. We'll get you the details on that as well in headlines coming up next.
Pain
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
We got to execute. You know, it's I wouldn't be able to call many plays, too, if guys were just in man or, you know, not doing assignments. So, you know, we all got to get better, too. So it's not just a cop-out like that. But, you know, everywhere around, we all got to be better. So, you know, and we know that. We know we can help him. He knows he can help us. You know, but at the end of the day, you know, if the sun rises up the next day and we can all get better, just have those conversations and get it fixed. Because, you know, I believe that we have the team to be really special. And, you know, we can get it fixed, and we will.
All right, that was C.J. Stroud yesterday. He was asked about the criticism for Bobby Slowik that Bobby's getting. He's taking up for his guy there. We'll hear more from C.J. and D'Amico at 7 o'clock today. C.J. talking about what is the one thing he needs to do more of. We'll get to that at the top of the hour. As far as news with the Texans goes, we'll get to the injury news. They did acquire a player yesterday. Zach Thomas, an offensive lineman from New England. They picked him up off of waivers. If you're going, that sounds familiar. Yeah, that's because he got smoked several times by Will Anderson in the game back in week 6. He was one of the beleaguered Patriot offensive linemen in that loss to the Texans in week 6, in which Will Anderson was defensive player of the week that week. Zachary Thomas. So he's a Houston Texan now.
I wonder, I'm curious, does he go by Zachary or Zach?
I've seen both. He was the news report yesterday said Zachary. I've seen Zach. I don't really care.
You name your kid Zach Thomas when the Zach Thomas when he was born was already a very famous football player.
Maybe they were a fan, you know?
I had to talk to Zach Thomas's parents, Zachary Thomas's parents. Yeah. It's a family name or something, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. I did see this tweet that Zachary Thomas has mainly played at left tackle for the Patriots, but Seth, he did take 23 snaps at left guard against the Jets in week 3.
Ooh.
One pressure allowed in those snaps, a 74.4 pass blocking grade on PFF, which I believe is in the green range, which is good.
There we go. Yeah. All right. Well, we're good to go then.
23. I don't want to hear about a small sample size. 23 snaps.
We're firing on all cylinders now. Yeah. I couldn't hack it on one of the worst teams in the league. Yeah, all right. Good.
Yeah. So there we are. So that's the acquisition.
Other people speculated that maybe this means that they're thinking about moving Titus Howard down to guard. Because the Texans, there's one thing the Texans will never quit on. It's their belief that somehow Titus Howard is going to magically transform into a good guard at some point.
Yeah, I hope not. I hope that's not the case.
Good guard! Yeah. What the hell's going on here? Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Injury report. Back at practice yesterday, Jarrett Patterson. That's good news. Speaking of left
guard.
That's a guard. Azeez Al-Shaair back at practice yesterday.
Not a guard, but I'm happy to have him back.
Same. Jerry Hughes may get a lot of snaps this week if Will Anderson doesn't play, I would say, right?
And then Christian Harris coming back possibly at the end of the season.
In week 15, yeah.
It's right around the corner.
Yeah.
I can't anticipate any setbacks possibly
before
that
Christmas.
One.
He'll be back by Christmas. With a little bow on top of his head when he does play. They're going to wrap him in wrapping paper, and we're going to unwrap him in the locker room. Oh, my God, this is the greatest present ever. Jeff Okuda back at practice. Jimmy Ward back at practice. The big news yesterday, neither Nico Collins nor Will Anderson practicing yesterday, and that has me nervous for Sunday.
The Jimmy Ward return, I know a lot of people are down on Jimmy Ward, and look, he's been injured a lot. He doesn't look physically like he's moving the same as he used to. There are times in these last several weeks where I wonder if Jimmy Ward's experience could have gone above and beyond the X's and O's.
Yeah.
For instance, Davante Adams, you know, and on the Davante Adams touchdown last week.
Yeah.
Kalen Bullock was shaded over towards Garrett Wilson on that play, which I'm guessing he was supposed to do. But with the veteran savvy and experience of a Jimmy Ward, would Jimmy Ward have anticipated it a little bit better and gotten over to the other side of the field and at the very least prevented a touchdown by Davante Adams?
Right.
You could argue that a few of those instances perhaps would be better with Jimmy Ward in there. So I like having his veteran experience and presence.
No doubt. By the way, Laremy Tunsil got a rest day yesterday. You know, because apparently.
Oh, I thought you were about to say arrested, and I was like, "Oh, boy, no!"
He had a rest day yesterday. You know, because apparently the long weekend was not enough. You know, you gotta
Oh, that's right.
Get even more rest in for Laremy Tunsil.
Let's be
Who
sure.
Needs he's a vet. I don't know if you heard. Yeah.
Right. That's right. He doesn't need to do anything more than he's supposed to do. Yeah. So, that's the standard that we're holding these young offensive linemen to.
Yep. So there you go. So that's your Texans news. They're back at it today. Keep an eye. This is, the Will Anderson, Nico Collins thing is what I'll be keeping an eye on today. And by the way, Bobby Slowick meeting with the media today as well. I will be anxious for that press conference. The coordinators meet with the media. Alex Bregman had a gremlinectomy yesterday. He had the gremlins removed from his elbow, i.e. bone chips removed from his elbow. Still a lot of quotes going back and forth from the GM meetings about Alex Bregman and the Astros. I know John Heyman, we have that audio. We'll play it a little later, where he thinks Bregman, there's a pretty good chance he's going to be back with the Astros. So we'll see. But he did have the procedure that we knew was coming. We knew he was dealing with elbow issues down the stretch this year. They had to manage that and rest him at times during September. He's expected to be swinging a bat again here in a few weeks. And whoever he's playing for, he expects to be ready for spring training.
You know what? I'm glad that this came up. I mean, I'm glad that he got the gremlins removed and whatnot. But I think maybe it's under-discussed sometimes when you talk about giving Alex Bregman a long-term contract. That, all right, this is a guy who, he's played 145 games or more each of the last three seasons. Yeah. You know, before that, before 2021, he was banged up. 2020 was COVID. Before that, he'd gone over 150 games from 2017 through 2019. And yet, remember Jonathan Joseph, where Jonathan Joseph was banged up a lot, but then people would say, yeah, but look at how many games he's played. He's not actually that. He hasn't missed that many, but it was always kind of touch and go. Mm-hmm. That's where I feel with Alex Bregman, and I wonder just how well he's going to age, because usually when he goes into these prolonged slumps, there's some kind of a physical explanation that goes along with it, that he's had to adjust because of because his elbow wasn't feeling good or what have you. And there is that. That's one thing that tempers my desire for a 7-year contract or a 6-plus-year contract with Bregman, is I don't know how well he's going to age.
That's fair.
He hasn't been as rock solid, durable physically as a lot of other guys.
No, that's a good point. It's a really good point. So we'll keep an eye on things, man. Will there be any Bregman news coming soon? We'll see. Let's get to the Rockets here. They were really good last night. Rockets beat the Spurs 127-100. They led wire to wire in this game. Real consistent throughout the game. Had 30 points or more in each quarter. No one played more than 31 minutes because they were leading by 20 for most of the game. Like, they got up on the Spurs early, and the Spurs never got this thing within like 15 points throughout the entire second. I love beating up on the Spurs, because when you beat the Spurs, that draft night footage gets repurposed of Wembanyama being so happy he's going to San Antonio to play for Popovich. Remember, like, oh, or not even happy about that.
Thank
Remember,
God he's happy. Not going to Houston.
He's happy he wasn't coming here. He's like, it wasn't even San Antonio that it was about. It was about, glad
he
that Rockets
He was afraid he might have to go to Houston. Yeah.
So screw yourself, Wemby. How you
enjoy,
like that?
Enjoy America, Wembanyama.
Yeah, man. So that was good, man.
Or at
Rockets
least whatever
are fun.
Version of it is they hawk over there in San Antonio.
Yep. So that was good night last night for the Rockets. A lot of balanced scoring. A lot of guys getting some playing time. That was cool to see. All right, those are your headlines for today. Are D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud hearing any of the outside noise? They talk about we don't listen to the outside noise. I think there were a few cuts yesterday from their press conferences that give a clear indication they definitely are hearing some of the things that people are saying right now. How accurate are the things that people are saying about this team? We'll hear from the head coach and the quarterback coming up next.